Honored to be here as the first Rockstream preacher. Amen. Guess we are making history today. Amen. Well, I want to introduce my beautiful wife. She's sitting right here, Lydia. Why don't you stand up? And our three boys are back there somewhere. They probably don't want to stand, but you can try and figure out who they are. Amen. Why don't we open with a word of prayer today and just really ask for God's blessing, His anointing on everything that it has been going on and is going to continue to go on. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your word. We thank You, God, that Your word is life to us. That Your word does bring a sense of newness to each and every one of us, Lord. That our spirits are renewed day by day by Your word. And so my prayer this morning, God, is that Your word would have that effect in our lives, that it would bring that newness to this season that we all desire. And so I ask, Lord God, that You would not only anoint my words, but that You would anoint the ears and hearts of each and every person here today, that we might hear together what Your Spirit wants to say unto the church. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 9. Very familiar scripture. It says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And so God's desire today and every day in our lives is to declare new things in our lives. To actually give us a warning that they're coming. Amen? How many times have we been taken off guard by different things that come into our lives? But I believe that God actually wants to speak to us. He wants to direct our hearts. He wants to open our hearts to what He is doing in each and every one of our lives. Here we go. Once again, the new year is already upon us. It's hard to believe. It seems like it was just yesterday that we were celebrating 2002. But here we are, once again. It seems like the older you get, the faster the years go by. I remember when I was a child, it seems like it took forever to go from one grade to another. But now it's like, can't we slow down a little bit? I mean, can't time just slow down and give us a chance to catch our breath before we move on again? But it just doesn't do that, does it? It continually moves forward, marches forward, and here we are again at the beginning of a new year, a time for reevaluations. It's a time to evaluate. It's a season of a new beginning. Amen? It's a time. How many of you can even remember the New Year's resolutions you made last year? How many made New Year's resolutions? Well, a few of you. That's why it's important for us to evaluate from time to time where we are at in relationship to what we believe God wants to do in our lives. And the new year is a time that we can do that. It's a season that we can say, hey, what is going on in my life? What does God want to do with me? Does He have a plan for me anyway? I believe He does, doesn't He? God has a plan. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. And so it's a time to look ahead with a sense of anticipation, with a sense of excitement towards what He is going to do if we prepare our hearts. But it's also time to evaluate and to see where we're at and the changes that we have made. I know about 6 years ago, I went through a major season of reevaluating my life. Really looking at my calling, my destiny, what God had for me. And the upshot was that I ended up resigning as the senior pastor of the church that I was pastoring and closing the doors. Now, why would I do that? I believe after, you know, just really looking and questioning and saying, God, what is Your purpose? What is Your calling? And looking at things with an honest heart before God. And sometimes that's what it takes, is saying, Lord, I want to be honest with You. I want to be honest with myself. What am I doing? Now, I believed that when I went into pastoring that it was God's will. And I still believe that today. But I believe it was for a season in that particular state where God had me. And after looking at the whole thing, and actually, I don't know how many of you know that I actually pastored the building. I didn't pastor the building, but I was pastoring the church that was in the building that the Rock of Roseville is now in. My wife and I pastored there for 12 years. And many of those years were very successful and very productive. It's amazing to me, even today, even last night, someone from our past came once again into our lives. And just seeing the fruit that has come forth over the years, we continually see that in the lives of the people that we have touched. And so I don't look at that season as a season of failure. I don't look at it as something that was not out of God's will, but after a season, just looking at the reality of where we were at, we came to the conclusion that the gifts, the grace that was in our lives wasn't what was needed to go forward. And so we decided to close the church. And we heard through the grapevine that there was this awesome man of God that actually wanted to plant a church in Roseville. And so I went to him and I said, you know what? I've got a building for you. And the rest is history. But see, as a result of making that evaluation, there was a new thing that came forth. You know what that new thing was? The Rock. The Rock. And all of you are part of that this morning. We're all a part of that. Amen? The new thing that God wants to do. We never know how our life is going to affect other people's lives by the decisions that we make. And so it's important for us, from year to year, from time to time, month to month, whatever, to constantly be making evaluations as to where we are in the Lord and what we're doing. Are we just spinning our wheels? Or are we doing something productive for the kingdom of God? I believe what God has me doing now is just as productive, just as important as what I did for 12 years. It's all kingdom. And that's what counts. How many times in life have we started a new year without even realizing the goals that we made, without fulfilling the goals that we made? How many times have we got to the end of the year and says, you know, I didn't even come close. Didn't even come close. Well, I believe that we can make changes, amen? And what I want to talk about today is giving your new year a kickstart. How can you kickstart your new year? What are some of the things that you can incorporate into your life that's going to start this year out with an explosion? Amen? That you're going to just be catapulted in to what God has for you. Because I believe that God has something special for each and every one of us. None of us without exception. Because God is a God that cares about individuals. Each and every one of us has the Holy Spirit, a promise, within each one of our lives, giving us specific directions for what God desires to do in our lives. And it's important for us to understand that we're not going to live on yesterday's blessings. How many have had something great happen, and you felt all exhilarated about it, only to, within a week or so, have it become a fading memory? That's just the way things work. We don't live on yesterday's blessings, nor do we live on yesterday's failures. We don't. Because every day with Jesus Christ is a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new day in the Lord. The slate is wiped clean every day. Not only every day, but every hour, every minute, every second. The slate is continually being washed so that we can continually look from a perspective of newness. This is a time to forget the past It's a time to move forward into the present. It's a time to move forward into the future. There's a scripture in Philippians that talks about this in chapter 3, in verse 13, where it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." This is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, listen, I haven't got it yet. I haven't arrived. None of us have arrived. But this is what he says. "But one thing I do is forgetting those things which were behind." He says, I know and I've blown it. I've blown it many times. How many know that Paul blew it a few times? He had an argument with Barnabas. That was just one thing. But this is what he said. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. He says, I'm continually washing my mind of the past. Continually washing myself from all of my failures, from all of my sins, knowing that he can't wash himself from his sins, but he's appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ into his life and walking in a cleansing before the Lord. See, I'm convinced many of us are trying to walk in the future without being cleansed, without appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And it holds us back. It keeps us from really accomplishing that which is before us because we're still under guilt and condemnation and shame and everything else for the way we've blown it. And Jesus says, listen, it's a new day. Paul says it's a new day. He says, forget those things that are behind you and press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And so many people all over the world today are in the process of making New Year's resolutions, of which many will never come to pass. But for us, as Bible-believing Christians, how many are Bible-believing Christians here today? For us as Bible-believing Christians, this is an opportunity to look back over the past year and to see if we were able to make all of the changes that we desired. It's a beginning of a new year, a new calendar year. And it can be a season of new beginnings for us. It's time to look ahead with a sense of anticipation and excitement towards the new things God wants to do in our lives. Forget the past. Amen? Forget it. Don't dwell on it. Let it go. You can't do anything about your past. Nobody can go back and change their past. You cannot do that. And so you have to simply just let it go. And say, this is a new day. It's a new day. It's a season of setting new goals. And putting into effect those things that you have been putting off doing. How many have been putting off doing some things? All of us. We put those things off. Well, today's the day to put on the new man in Christ. Amen? But we need to understand also that every day in the Lord is a day of new beginnings. But we can look at this day, this season, as a time to reevaluate where we are and where we're going. In 2 Corinthians 4 and chapter 16, it says, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, my outward man, I'm finding as I get older, is perishing pretty fast. I mean, it seems like once you hit 50, it's all downhill. I mean, you know, the body just starts deteriorating pretty quickly. But the inner man, I still feel like a young buck in the Lord. Amen? Because my spirit is being renewed day by day. But it's having to put up with this old body. And it doesn't want to keep up sometimes. And part of the problem is that I haven't done what I should be doing in keeping myself fit. But that's not the Lord's problem. That's my problem. His problem is to renew my heart, renew my mind, keep me in a state of renewal. I believe that God wants to create a sense of newness in each one of our lives. And that it's His desire that we be filled with a sense of newness, with a sense of freshness of what His desire is for our lives. Notice I said what His desire is for our lives. You see, so many times we never come into contact with what His desire is because we're trying to work out our own desires. And we need to get in touch with what His desire is for our lives. And this is what is really needed before we can give ourselves that kickstart that is needed. Isaiah 43 says in verse 18, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, you shall not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert." You see, God really wants to do something new. I can remember a season in my life where it was really new. I had been saved for about a year and a half. I was in a church that didn't really believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and all of that. And finally, I got into a church that believed that way, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I entered a season where I was going to Bible college. And let me tell you something. Something happened. It was such a season of freshness and newness and revelation. I look back at that season in my life, and I see that as a defining moment. A defining moment in my life where God's purpose, His calling, was really getting into my heart. Because I was daily being loaded with benefits. I was daily being loaded with revelation and understanding. It was like the windows of heaven being opened. And that constant freshness. See, what happened as a result of that freshness, it inspired me. See, many of us aren't inspired to do what God wants to do because we don't have a sense of newness. We don't have a sense of freshness. We're still operating in the old. And expecting that to have some kind of an effect in our lives that will produce something that God wants, but it won't. Because we have to be filled with that sense of newness, a sense of newness of purpose. Some of the things that I thought were the will and the purpose of God in years gone by got refined along the way. But see, if we don't take the time to allow God to refine and to, you know, bring us into more of a maturity in these things, what happens is that we're always still trying to operate from yesterday's blessing. And it doesn't work. It doesn't propel us forward. And so I want to talk about a couple areas here, first of all, that really bring newness and freshness into our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." See, all things, not just some things. Everything is new. Old things, what happened to the old things? They just simply passed away. They're gone. And so, why do we waste our time and energy and our emotion thinking about and conjuring up all of these past things in our lives that only bring a lot of hurt and emotional difficulty to us? They've passed away. They're gone. We can't bring them back. We can't do anything more with them. And so what we should be doing is concentrating on the new with the slate wiped clean. And so number one here, newness comes by letting go of the past. No matter how miserably we failed, God's desire is for us to receive His forgiveness and move forward. See, God does not want us in a spirit of condemnation and guilt. That is the devil's ploy. That is one of his favorite tactics that he uses on us to keep us from fulfilling his calling, his election in our lives, is condemnation and guilt. Psalms 103 and verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Let me ask you something. Can you measure the distance from the east to the west? You can't. Can you measure the distance from north to south? You can't. And so God uses this illustration of east and west because there is no way of measuring. I mean, you go east, you continually go, you know, you end up where you start if you just go around in circles. And so there is no beginning, there is no ending in a sense. And so God says, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins. Now, I don't understand how God can forget some of the things that I've done. But he has a way in which he does that. It's supernatural. And so I look at it, I really look at it this way. If God has forgotten it, then I need to forget it as well. Why should I waste my time, my energy, dwelling on something that God has no memory of? It's ludicrous. It really is. And so that enables me to walk with a sense of freshness. It enables me to walk with a sense of newness in what God is doing in my life because I'm not encumbered by my past. You see, hanging on or dwelling on the past is like air moving through a dirty filter. Even though something new and fresh is entering into that filter, it comes out dirty and tainted because of the filth that it must pass through. And see, and this is what happens in many of our lives. God is breathing newness into our lives, but it's having to pass through the filter of our old sins because we have not let them go. And therefore, we miss out on that newness and that freshness that God desires for our life because we're unwilling to come into agreement with his word and just simply let it go. Take Jonah, for example. Jonah's sulking disappointment came from a failure of imagination, a failure of heart. He had no idea what God was doing. He had no idea about the largeness of God's love, his mercy, and his salvation. He had reduced his vocation to his own performance. He was in the right place, doing the right thing, but he interpreted everything through his Jonah ideas, through his Jonah desires. And he missed out on the bigger picture of what God was doing. I mean, God wanted to save the whole city of Nineveh and was in the process of doing that. And Jonah was mumbling and complaining and everything else every step of the way. Because he didn't have a heart that could see the freshness and the newness of what God was doing. And many times, that's where we're at. We're in the right place. We're at the right time. We're at the right place, right time. But because we're focused on self, we miss out on the new things that God wants to do through us and for us. Because we're too focused on self. Everything is being filtered through our failures, through our sins, and we see ourselves as inadequate for what God wants to do. I want you to know today that as New Testament ministers, and that's all of us, we're all able ministers of the New Covenant. And that God has anointed and equipped each and every one of us for the task that he's given to us. Whatever it may be, it belongs to you. The power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit working through you to touch the lives of people everywhere. One of God's principles concerning new things is simply to forget the past and not to walk in the condemnation and guilt, but rather to walk in freedom and liberty of forgiveness. To walk in that forgiveness. See, this is so simple, but I feel that so many of us miss the reality of God's forgiveness and knowing how to appropriate it for our lives. You see, I constantly see myself clothed in a robe. And that robe is called the robe of righteousness. That I can come boldly to the throne of grace anytime because I'm covered in his robe, not my own. See, the best that I can be is as filthy rags before the Lord. The best that you can be is nothing but filthy rags before the Lord. And that's why you have to wear his robe. You have to wear his righteousness. Because when you're standing in his righteousness and not your own righteousness, there is such a release of guilt. There's such a release of shame in your lives that you can receive this newness and the revelation and you feel worthy before the Lord. Amen? I want to feel worthy before God, but you cannot, you will never be any more worthy than you are right now in God's eyes. You will never be any more perfect than you are right now as far as God is concerned. Now, as far as you're concerned, you've got a little ways to go. But as far as God is concerned, He sees you already as perfect because you're standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not your own. And so therefore, you can come boldly to His throne of grace and receive mercy and help at any time, at any hour, at any day. You receive the help that you need. The second thing here that causes newness and freshness in our lives is this. Having a hungering and a thirsting for it. Hungering and thirsting. There was a period in my life, going back to when I was in that other church that didn't believe in the Holy Spirit and all of that, where I had such a, when I first got saved, I had such an insatiable hunger and thirst for the Word of God that it almost drove me crazy. I would spend hours just devouring the Word of God. I loved the writings of Paul, and I would just devour that. I could never get enough. And that hunger and that thirst, it led me to seek more of God and to want more of what He had for me. That was back in the early 70s, and I just come out of the whole hippie thing, and I knew the call of God was on my life, and I was looking at, okay, where am I going to go to school and get trained? And so I began to look around, and I went to the church school, the school that this church sponsored and everything, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, I still had enough hippie in me to rebel against it. I said, why should I have to go in debt thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to become a minister? It just doesn't make sense. And so I knew in my heart what I really wanted. And lo and behold, one day the brochure came and I saw, wow, that's it. That's what I want. And I went. That hunger and that thirst drove me to what God really desired in my life. And that's when I entered into that season where the windows of heaven were being opened and the revelation was coming faster and I knew what to do with it. How many have ever been there? The revelation of God is just pouring into your spirit so fast. It's like, what do you do with all this? That's a good place to be. Very good place to be. And so, you know, we have to have that hungering. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. It doesn't say they might be filled. It says they shall be filled when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Number three, how newness comes? Newness comes by allowing God to renew our spirits. You see, I believe we need to get in touch with what God wants to do in my life rather than what I want to do in my life. I need to find out what God really wants. I need to quit seeking my own will, my own desires, and start seeking God's will and His desires. In fact, David prayed for God to create a new heart and a steadfast spirit within him. And I believe that this needs to be our attitude as well. He says in Psalms 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, God can only create a sense of newness when we yield ourselves with an open and a contrite heart. Let me say this. I believe too many of us are wrapped up in our old identities. Our identity should be in who we are in Jesus Christ. But many of us are still walking in the identity that was established under the old nature. And we wonder, why do we keep doing the things that we do? Why do we keep falling into sin? It's because we're wrapped up in this old identity that wants to identify with all of those things of the world. I mean, that was a part of our life for how many years before we got saved? Those things are like strongholds in our life. Our identity. And Jesus says, really, what He's saying is that our identity needs to be constantly changing because we're going from glory to glory into His image. When I quit pastoring, you don't think that was a little bit of an identity crisis? in the newness, in the new man, in the new creation, in the new things that He wants to bring forth in my life. Not in the old things. I begin to relate to myself that way. I begin to relate to others. It affected the way I related to other people. Because there was a change that was going on in my life. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons many people do not change as much as they would like to is because they're unwilling to let go of their old identity. An identity that's wrapped up in the sins of the past. And so the cry of our heart should be for God to continually create a new heart within us and to continually renew our spirit in Him. As we do, it will put us in the proper position for God to speak to our hearts. I mean, put it this way. God is speaking. It's a question of us listening to what He's saying. And many times we're trying to filter what He's saying through the past. It takes a restored and a renewed vision to move forward in God. You know, I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about Pastor Francis. I mean, here is a man that is constantly moving forward in God. And then I realized there's something else about him. He's always got something new going on in his heart. He's always got some sort of new revelation, new sense of purpose that God is wanting for him and the church. Once the thing of the past is done, we're moving on again. Amen? I mean, we maintain those things, but we don't live on yesterday's blessings. We don't live on what God was doing yesterday. We're constantly, okay, Lord, what do you want to do today? Where are we going next year? Where are we going the year after? How many of us relate that way to our personal lives? Where are we going this year? And having the Holy Spirit reveal new things comes from waiting on God. It comes from Him speaking into our spirits. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What is the key to maintaining the freshness as you get older? Having the same zeal and fervency in the Lord as you get older? You see, our fervency and our zeal in the Lord should not be waning from year to year. But it will if we don't maintain that sense of waiting on Him. Because we'll get tired. Let me tell you something. I know when I've been walking in the flesh too much or just being carnal minded, I get tired. I don't sense that renewal going on in my spirit. And I know that I need to get back to waiting on God the way that works for me. How we wait on God is different for each and every one of us. But we know what works for us. We've had those seasons. Everybody here, I am sure, for the most part, has had seasons where you've experienced that intimacy with God. Where you've experienced that freshness of His revelation being poured into your life. What is it that made that work for you during that season? Begin to use it. Okay. I want to look now at four ways how you can kickstart your new year. Number one, rely on the Holy Spirit to help you and equip you. Now, look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. This is such a pivotal scripture here. I think so many times we just read the word and we don't get it. But I want you to get it today. Amen? I want you to really get this scripture. It says, this is Paul speaking, "To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily." Paul says, there's something going on here. He says, I am laboring, I am striving according to the working of the Holy Spirit that is doing something in me in a mighty way. Now, here's the problem. Is that most of us, or some of us, a few of us maybe, whatever, are in this position where God is speaking and wanting to do something mighty on our behalf. And the word mighty, let me give you the word here, is the word dunamis. Which means miraculous power, ability, abundance, meaning might,
Power, strength, violence, mighty. It's a powerful word. It's an explosive word. In other words, the Holy Spirit is just waiting to explode in ourselves. Amen? He's wanting to do that. And you look at the life of Paul and you see where he actually did that. But what was the key here? Paul says, I also. He said, I also labor, striving according to His working. How many have ever either been a sluggard or worked with a sluggard? You ever see somebody who's really gung-ho and he has to work with this person that's a real sluggard? You know what ends up happening? They just frustrate each other. I mean, there is total frustration going on and nothing is getting done. You see, what I'm saying here is that the Holy Spirit is wanting to be gung-ho on our behalf. He's wanting to be violent on our behalf. But here we are just working against Him because we're unwilling to get out there and do something. Amen? And so He's frustrated. And we end up quenching Him. And He doesn't get the job done. Because we have quenched Him. And in order for it to get to, the Bible says we have to be violent about our faith. It says the violent take the kingdom by force. Amen? The aggressive ones. It's a violent faith. And so if we want to grow and we want to change, you know, and what happens when we begin to enter into that, what Paul was doing there, striving, laboring, there's an agreement that goes on in the Spirit. And what happens when two or three agree on something, touching anything in heaven and earth? The heavens get released. Things begin to happen. And so we wonder, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. He's in my life, but it doesn't seem like He's doing anything. You see, too many of us have the mentality, there's two extremes here. One extreme is, let Him do everything. The other extreme is, we do everything. There has to be a laboring together. A laboring together with the Holy Spirit. A striving together. And when that agreement happens, He says, guess what? I'm going to work mightily on your behalf. Things are going to change. Strongholds are going to break. Newness is going to come forth. You're going to have more revelation, more understanding, more purpose, and you'll know what to do with. When you begin to enter into that relationship with the Holy Spirit at His speed, at His quickening. The major reason unbelievers have a hard time fulfilling their New Year's resolutions, and a lot of times us as well, is because we're doing it in our own strength. I love this scripture in Romans 8:11. It says, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that's in my life. Now, if He can raise Jesus from the dead, He can surely deal with the issues of my life. Amen? And He can deal with the issues of your life. He's equipped to do that. It's a marvelous thing. Number two, on giving your past, giving your new year a kickstart, build on past successes and learn from past failures. Charles Swindoll said, great accomplishments are often attempted, but only occasionally reached. Those who reach them are usually those who missed many times before. Failures are only temporary tests to prepare us for permanent triumphs. This scripture in Philippians 3:16 really says a lot. It's one of those scriptures that will just go right over your head if you don't catch it. This is what Paul says. He says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule.
Let us be of the same mind. In other words, how many of you have experienced some victory in your life?
Everybody should have their hands up. Let's see your hands. We've all experienced victory from time to time. What was it that caused that victory? What was the thing that we did in cooperation with the Holy Spirit that brought forth that victory?
Continue to operate by the same rule. It works. We all have failures. It's what we do with them and how we respond to them that makes the difference. The way we deal with failure can determine and sustain our motivation. How many, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many have been very unmotivated because of the failures of your past? A lot of us. How we respond to that failure determines our level of motivation. It has been said that a successful person fails 2 out of every 5 times, while an unsuccessful person fails 3 out of 5 times. Not a whole lot of difference, is there? It's the attitude. It's the perspective. We need to look at how much we miss the mark and then make the necessary adjustments that will help us make the mark more perfectly in the coming year. We should look at the mark as a goal. The target as a goal. We should have a slide there. The target. Go to the next one. There you go. We should think of the goal as a target. The bullseye is 100. The concentric rings are 80, 60, 40, and 20. You should aim for 100. But sometimes you may only hit 80. Is it a bad thing to hit 80? No. Or even 20. We're doing good sometimes if we can just hit the target, amen? But you're not going to hit the target unless you aim for the bullseye. Someone said, I would rather attempt to do something great for God and fail than do nothing and succeed. After Eisenhower won the Republican nomination for president from Robert Taft, in 1952, a reporter asked Taft about his goals. He said, my great goal was to become the President of the United States in 1953. And the reporter smirked. Well, you didn't make it, did you? He said, no. But I became a senator from Ohio. Don't worry about your failed goals. Keep shooting at the mark. Amen? Keep aiming for the mark. Keep aiming for the high calling in Jesus Christ. And then finally, number 3 here. We need to set new goals for the new year. Where there is no vision or revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Without vision, without direction, we're going to cast off all restraint. We won't fulfill those areas that God wants to change in our lives. In a few moments, you're going to receive an open envelope and letter, and you're going to write your letter for this new year. And as you do, I just want to go through these things here. These are just some ideas, some things that you might want to consider as you're writing that letter. Number 1, make a list of areas in which you want victory during this coming year. Where do you want victory? Go ahead and begin to pass those out. Make a list of where you want victory during this coming year. 2, make a list of areas you want to become more diligent in. That's needed. That aspect of diligence, where Paul says, I labor and strive according to his mighty working. Make a list of new areas and experiences you want to come into. What are some new experiences that you desire? Maybe you've never operated in the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe you've never been a cell group leader or something of that nature. And you want to press into that. You want to try something new this year. Make a list of new areas in which you want to commit yourself to or recommit yourself to. And then make a list of what God wants to do in your family. What does God want to do in your family? And then finally, then you become accountable to someone in the areas you are looking for change and newness. Philemon 1 and verse 6 says, the sharing of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, as you confess to one another those areas that you want change in, it becomes effective in you. And then the last thing here, after you've done everything else, expect the Holy Spirit to bring forth new beginnings. A heart of expectation. We should have an expectation in our hearts that new things and new seasons are going to break forth. I should believe and say, God, this is your will, this is your purpose in my life, that new things are going to break forth this year. That new things are going to break forth today. It's a matter of us agreeing with God's will and purpose for our lives. I want to put this last scripture up. Philippians 1 and verse 6. This is a scripture that has probably had more effect in my life than any other scripture, because it gives me hope in the midst of everything else. It says, he who has already been doing a good work in you is going to keep on doing it until Jesus returns. That's my translation of that scripture. If Jesus has begun something in you, he's not... How many of us quit things halfway through? I do. Jesus doesn't do that. He completes it. He keeps on working. Even if we're going against his grain, you know, he's still there convicting and urging us and, you know, prompting us on, trying to get us to that place where we'll come into agreement with him so that he can finish the task that he's begun in our lives. And so if we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit, he is going to complete that which Jesus has begun in each one of our lives. I'm going to go ahead and just pray over this right now, and then you're going to have a few moments to write out your letters. Father, we thank you today for your word. I pray, Lord, that this word would not be just a word that comes and goes, but it would be a word that has a lasting effect in each and every one of our lives. That we would go from here realizing and understanding that you truly do desire to create in us new beginnings, new revelation, a whole new understanding of who you are. I pray for each and every person here today, Lord, that you would seal this word in their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. It's been a real privilege and an honor to be here with you today. And I'll let whoever's supposed to take over do that at this point.